The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program are Ed Funston of KILR Radio in Estherville and Jim Johnson of the Anamosa Journal Eureka. The first question will come from KILR's Ed.
So, you're planning on holding a hearing next week in Des Moines on methamphetamine use. Can you tell me, how bad you think the meth problem is in Iowa and what do you hope to learn from the hearing?
Well, you know, what's so disappointment about Iowa is we've had federal and state law that has done away with the precursor agreements, mostly a sulfur product that, people would buy at various things and then use it as a precursor to make the stuff. And those local labs probably still exist to some extent, but nothing in the hundreds. And I think one year we had a count of 700 or so. And so you think, well, you take action by local police and by the state law and to some extent even by federal law to stop the homemaking of methamphetamine, and then the problem's gone, right? No. What we're finding now is importation from Mexico and much higher purity, maybe 97% purity compared to what's homegrown there, maybe 60 or 65% percent purity. So we have a major problem in Iowa, and it's not one that I can quantify for you, but I can tell you the reason I'm having the hearing is because this has come up with law enforcement people an awful lot, and as chairman of the Judiciary Committee, and particularly as chairman of the Drug Caucus of the United States Senate, I feel we better get an Iowa point of view. Jim?
Yes, on Tuesday, you accused the Democrats of blocking appropriation bills, threatening to blame the GOP for a shutdown of the government. Yet you argue that the filibuster should not be abolished. Why?
Well, I hope you will read the whole speech, about a half hour, that you can find at 6 o'clock that day that I gave it in the Congressional Record. You can even find it on my internet if you want to make it easy. The answer is in my speech, but let me repeat it for you. The Senate is different than the House, and it's meant to be that way under the Constitution, and particularly the words of explanation of the United States Senate that James Madison put in the Federalist Papers as they were trying to sell the adoption of the Constitution. And it's simply this, that the Senate's supposed to be a deliberative body. In the House, majority's supposed to rule. In the Senate, there's provisions with a 60-vote supermajority for minority views to be protected. And so what you heard me give a kind of a history of, besides James Madison, is that over the last 6 years, the Democrats were running the United States Senate, and it didn't function as a deliberative body. Give you a couple figures. 15 votes on amendments last year. This year we've had 83 Democrat amendments, 83 Republican amendments. Now that's as of Labor Day. I can't give you a later figure. So we decided, if Republicans took over the United States Senate, that we're going to run it as a deliberative body. Anybody can offer amendments, contrary to what the Democrats did. Now, for 6 years, the Democrats thought the filibuster was bad. Now, the Democrats, being in the minority, think the filibuster is the greatest thing that's ever been done for them, because they can exercise a lot of power now that they didn't allow Republicans to operate. So how does that work into what we're trying to do in what we call regular order? We're trying to have separate appropriation bills. And you know what the Democrats are doing? They're filibustering, even debating, getting the bill brought up. And so I want the Democrats to have protection from the minorities, but they shouldn't be shutting down the Senate from adopting appropriation bills. And that's what my speech was all about. It was also a lesson to House Republicans, who said that they're irritated with the Senate because it takes 60 votes to get something done. You ought to have a majority vote. And then I went on to say, in the last 30 years, all the bad pieces of legislation that Republicans wouldn't want the Democrats to offer that are not law now because we had the 60-vote supermajority. So don't wish for something, I was telling the House Republicans, because you might get it. Ed?
Yeah, Senator, the Trans-Pacific trade deal has been in the news this week with Hillary Clinton coming out against it yesterday. Do you support the trade deal?
Well, I don't know yet because I haven't read it. I can tell you some interest groups that feel it's a good thing that I tend to have agreement with, like agricultural commodity and livestock groups that think it's a very good thing. And it does take a strong agricultural provision to get through manufacturing and services. So I would look at that as a positive thing, but I've got to read it, and it we don't have it yet. So that raises the question, how can Hillary say she's against it if she hasn't read it yet? But I think it's a political thing for her because the unions don't like it. But why would the unions not like it? You know, 24% of the John Deere tractors are exported. So why wouldn't they want to export more tractors? 24% of the jobs at John Deere's are connected with exports. So I think people don't look at this very impartially, and they look at it more politically. And I think they don't see the advantages of trade. So, you know, you can tell from what I'm saying, I'm looking at TPP as a positive thing. But I can't tell you how I'm going to vote, and we probably won't even have a vote until next spring because it's got to be on the Internet for everybody to read in the Congress, but everybody out in the out any place in Iowa or around the country, because that answers the question that people used to call in last June to be against TPP. Why is it being negotiated in secret? How come it's got to be secret? Well, negotiations are secret, but the agreement isn't secret. Everybody's going to be able to read it. So I don't want to hear that excuse again. And that's kind of a statement of frustration that I just made. Jim?
Senator, back to the hearing next week on methamphetamine use. What do you hope to get out of it, and why did you choose Iowa for holding the hearing?
I think because methamphetamine's been a very major problem in Iowa. It's not talked about or written about as much in the papers as it used to be because it was always policemen finding these homemade laboratories and arresting people, or maybe the laboratories blowing up and creating a fire, so you see it on the front pages of the newspaper. But I want to bring attention to Iowans by having the hearing there, so that they know it's still a major problem, even if it doesn't hit the front page of the newspapers like it used to. Ed?
Senator, you're co-sponsoring a bill that would try to cut down or cut federal funding for sanctuary cities. Do you think that can be an effective way to end sanctuary cities?
Well, let me tell you why it ought to be effective. First of all, we got to get it passed, and that's not going to be an easy job. In fact, maybe we won't get it passed because it sounds to me like a lot of people that ought to be for it, particularly Democrats that ought to be for it, that aren't. But first of all, immigration law is a federal law, and you can't have sanctuary cities that can thumb their nose at federal law and say we aren't going to turn these undocumented workers, particularly people that commit felonies, over to federal law enforcement. We're going to give them protection. The other thing is that if you've been convicted of a felony in the United States and you're a non-documented worker and you're deported and you come back into the country and you kill somebody, we want mandatory 5-year sentences so that we keep people like that off the street. This is called Kate's Law after Kate Steinle, San Francisco, murdered. But that's not a one-incident thing. We got 5-year statistics that say that 121 people, I think, have been murdered by people that have been exported, come back into the country. Thank you, Ed and Jim, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.